Yes, let's give it up for our band leading us in worship today. Man, oh, so good, so good. You know, when we started our series, obviously, we could never have known the situation that we were going to be preaching this series inside of. And when we look to our neighbors of the South, it's easy for us to understand, why do we need to be anchored in this world? Why do we need to be anchored to something greater than ourselves? Whenever you see the devastation that is to our South, and at the end of today's service, we're going to pray for them, and we've been taking donations all week, and we're going to be taking donations till 5 p.m. if you'd like to come and bring something this afternoon. But you have to wonder. You have to wonder that if your life consisted of only material things and physical things, and everything was taken from you, and you didn't have an anchor in the midst of that storm, wouldn't your life be filled with devastation? Wouldn't you be looking around and completely doubting what the value of life truly is? Where am I going? What do I do now? And as we go through this series, what we projected is that there are some anchors that we need to lay down in our lives, because the storms are constant. We don't have to think or consider, is there going to be a storm? The answer is yes. But the question is, do you prepare in advance by anchoring your life to God's principles and His precepts? And so our theme verse for the entire series is Hebrews 6:19. It says, we have this anchor of hope for our souls. Man, I hope this morning that you are anchored in. And we're going to do at least two parts, because it's so good that I couldn't just skip over the beginning to get to the end. But next week, as a preacher, I can't tell you how sometimes I know what's coming and I'm excited about the sermon that I haven't preached yet. And next week, oh my gosh, it's going to be so, so good. But today, I'm gonna do it. I'm going to force myself to give you the setup this week. And the setup is the promise. The promise that led to this anchor of hope that we have. And it says in Hebrews chapter 6, the paragraph starts in verse 13. And look at this with me. It says, for when God made a promise to Abraham. So way back there in the Old Testament. And if you want to know who the goat is in the Old Testament, I'm going to say that past David and past Moses, for my money, Abraham is the goat. And if you don't know who the goat is, that's the greatest of all, for all the older people here, that's the greatest of all time. And I'm going to tell you why at the end of this morning's message. It says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, and God never made a promise like this to anyone else, it says that since he had no one greater to swear by, he swore by himself. Now it just, I might be the only person that gets excited about this, but I just want you to think about that God surveyed all of his creation. He looked to the mountains and the majesty of the peaks that seemed to reach up to the heavens. He considered the waves of the ocean and the power that they're able to portray, obviously seen in recent weeks. And yet when he surveyed all of creation and everything that was in this world and the power that this world possesses, there was nothing that was equal to himself. And so he had to swear by something greater than creation. As a matter of fact, if he would have sworn by something inside creation, he would have only cheapened the promise, because it would have been lesser. Creation is less than the creator. Think about that. When you get serious about something, if somebody tells you something and you're having a hard time believing it, what do people, they're like, I swear it's true, right? And you're like, no, I still don't believe you. And they might ratchet it up and they might say, I swear on my mother's grave, right? I swear on my mother. And you might even go to the next level. I swear on the And some of you need a stack of Bibles, right? You know, some of your friends, they're like, I swear on a stack of Bibles. Here is God. Man, I can't wait to preach this next week. I can't even do it today. He said, I swear by myself. I swear by myself. Imagine for a moment, You can't do that. I can't do that. If you ever hear a preacher say, I swear by myself, then you need to leave that church and never come back, right? Because I can't do that. I can't do that. You know, whenever it comes to your house, right, you can't swear by yourself. You swear by the bank, right? The bank gave you the money, so you're like, I swear by the bank, because the bank owns it until you pay the last little part, right? So you say, I swear by the bank that I'm going to pay this note off, because you don't have enough, right? You don't possess enough. You can't swear by yourself anything for anyone, because you lack the power to deliver at the highest level. Even if you owned the world, it wouldn't be enough to pay for your soul. God had to swear by something greater, and he swore by himself. He co-signed your salvation. Are you feeling me this morning? At the bottom, your promise is co-signed by God himself. That's how you can trust in the world. Whenever the storms are raging, whenever the waves are crashing, what are you anchored to this morning? Have you anchored to something greater than everything that's inside creation? That's why you don't have to shudder in the midst of the storm, is because you've anchored to something that's outside of creation, something that supersedes everything that's in this world. And that is how you get to that place of hope. Man, I'm just getting warmed up. It says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no greater, he swore by himself. Look at this. This was the promise. He says that he will bless you and he will multiply you. He will bless you and he will multiply you. Now, we're going to grab the context of this verse, a quick Bible study lesson. If you're reading this in your Bible, it'll either be in all caps or it'll be in quotation marks. Whenever you see all caps or quotation marks, that is an Old Testament quote. If you want the flavor of what the author intends, you need to go back and get the context. You need to go back and say, where was he at when this quote was given? And what we're going to find out at the end of this morning's message is that they are standing on top of Mount Moriah, and Abraham has just offered Isaac on the altar of sacrifice. And God stayed his hand at the 11th hour and said, don't do it. And then he says, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. Your obedience has obtained something. I'm going to bless you and I am going to multiply you. That's the context of this morning's message. Last verse, it says, so patiently, it's been some 30 years now since he left Ur of the Chaldees. He says, but patiently, after he waited, Abraham obtained the promise. He held the promise in his hand. And what I want so bad as the pastor that preaches to you every week is I want you to know what it's like to hold God's promise in your hand. Some of you sitting in here this morning, let's be honest, you don't even know what I'm talking about. You're like, promise? I don't, like, what promise are you talking about? I just thought I need Jesus and I'm good. And there's more than just Jesus, amen? God has more than just getting saved and getting some fire insurance, right? I mean, he has a life that he has planned out for you that is bigger than what you've conceived for yourself. And so today I hope I can preach this to you. After he swore by himself, point number one. Point number two, whenever we're looking at this promise, the promise is actually the provision. And many times we consider the promise and we kind of start thinking of it almost like the promised land, like it's the destination. But what I'm going to argue for this morning is that the promise is everything, that the promise is both the direction and the destination. It's everything that you need this morning. If you could get a hold of the promise, you wouldn't need anything else in your life. What do I mean by that? Well, let's think about it for a moment. Number one, the promise is able to lead you when you don't know where you're going. So whenever he said, Abraham, if you want me to bless you, if you want me to use you, you're going to have to leave Ur of the Chaldees. There was no map, folks. There was no Google. There was no GPS. There was no directions. It was just leave. And the promise was going to be the only thing that gave direction. He's just wandering toward the promise, not even knowing where it's at. And I just wondered if anybody could relate this morning. Have you ever been, maybe are you now in a season where you don't know where you're going? I want you to raise your hand if you've ever been in a season where you didn't know where you were going. Like, you're going to work, but you have no idea where this career is going. Right? You don't even know why you do it, but you know you gotta do it, but you don't know where it's going. Have you ever been in a relationship? Anybody in here remember when you were dating? Have you ever been in a relationship and you didn't know where it's going? That's scary, right? That's scary. Have you ever been in a marriage? Where you went through a season where distance began to creep in and you didn't know where it was going. And there's a lot of times and seasons in life where if we were transparent and we were honest, we don't know where it's going. We don't know where it's going to end. Do you see where an anchor might make a difference? Do you see if you had a promise that was willing to lead you even when you didn't know where you were going, that you could trust that the promise was going to get you there? Wouldn't that be valuable to you this morning if you had an anchor like that? It'll lead you when you don't even know where you're going. Secondly, it will open opportunities that were potential before obedience. What do I mean by that? There are some things that God has planned for your life that are potential. They're what could be in your life, but they aren't reality yet. And if you aren't willing to move, then how in the world is he going to open? See, you see, whenever God met Abraham, Sarah, her womb was barren. Her womb was broken. It had the inability to produce life. It only contained death. And as a result of his obedience, it opened something. See, there's some stuff in your life that is locked where you're at. And if you would say yes to the promise, it's going to be opened over here. It's going to get unlocked over here. There's some things in your life that you're looking at before you have a promise, and you say, well, that would be impossible. And God is saying, but I got possible right over here if you just say yes today to the promise. See, the promise will unlock things that are impossible for you to achieve on your own. Man, there's some opportunities that God has prepared for your life, and until you obediently say yes to the promise, they're going to remain potential. Wouldn't it be terrible if you never held your Isaac? Don't you know that when Isaac was born, he held that boy in his arms? And all that pain and all the travail and all the sacrifice that led up to that moment when Sarah held her Isaac, that promise led to a provision that she could have never produced on her own. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? That he has an Isaac prepared for your life and its potential until you say yes and anchor into the promise. Not only will it open opportunities, thirdly, it has this ability to redirect whenever we begin to drift. You see, all of us have this tendency that God's saying, walk toward me, and we start walking, and then we catch something over here, and we get distracted, and we start drifting. Has anybody ever drifted in here from God's will for your life? Anybody ever had a season where they drifted? I know some of your stories in here. You better raise your hand. I know some of you, you were way out there when you walked in Genesis Metro. You almost broke the rope. You went so far. And so drift, that's a real thing. You see, whenever Abraham and Sarah began to drift, there was a little woman named Hagar. Anybody know who Hagar is? Man, oh my gosh. They said they were going to call an audible that didn't even exist in the playbook. Have you ever watched a football game when a quarterback does that? The offensive coordinator sitting over there like, it's not even in the playbook, man. You just audible to something we don't even, like you ran a play that didn't exist. What are you doing? Man, I'm going to give you some deep theology right now. All right, you ready for this? If you think adding another woman to your life is gonna make it better, no, 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 no. You can't handle the one you're married to. You think adding another one is gonna make it better? No, 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 no. That audible isn't in the playbook, all right? That audible will get you messed up, all right? So he gave you one, and you just manage the one that you got for the rest of your life, and when you get to the end, maybe you'll have figured it out. And the men said, amen. That's right. That's right. See, whenever you begin to look in places that you shouldn't look, whenever you begin to entertain ideas, that promise will draw you back. You see, whenever you allow voices into your life that are outside of his will, that anchor is it begins to pull you back into place. Man, the promise will lead you when you don't know where you're going. It'll open opportunities that were only potential before obedience. And then lastly, it has the ability to redirect you when you begin to drift. Verse 15, it says, after patiently waiting, he obtained. He obtained. Man, I'm all about the chase, but I'm all about the obtaining too, right? If we only chased and we never obtained, then it's the proverbial carrot out in front of the donkey, and we don't ever really know once we get there. But God is saying that there's a real place when you have obtained a promise at the level that you're at. And I want to preach on how do we get to that place where we obtain that promise, because sometimes I think we make a mistake that we think patience is passivity, and that's not true. See, you. There's a lot of Christians, they want to come in, and I call them like the Golden Corral Christians. I mean, can I get it? You're going to feel this, all right? Some of you just like, well, okay, here it comes, all right? So, Golden Corral, anybody ever been to old Golden Corral? It's all you can eat. All you can eat terrible food. All you can eat, right? But you could just sit there and just like, bring some more chicken fried steak with some gravy, some terrible shrimp that's probably been artificially created some lab, and so you just, but you could sit there and you just, and that you could do that. You could do that. And some of people want to come in and sit on church on Sunday, and they just want to just like, bless me, feed me, feed me, feed me. And they're not understanding that at some point, God is not saying, I'm going to bless you where you are. I'm going to bless you where you need to be. That's why he's going to bless you. God told Abram, when he met Abram, he turned him into Abraham. You understand what I'm saying? He was at Ur, the Chaldees, and he was taking him to some undisclosed location. He said, Abraham, you can't stay who you are, and you can't stay where you're at if you want the promise that I prepared for you. Movement is a must. You understand that this morning? You can't just sit there and say, bless me. There's no one that ever said yes to God that they didn't have to move. Are you understanding? Movement is a must, whether it's positionally moving locations, whether it's emotionally how you feel about it. I guarantee you there's two types of people that are sitting in Houston and Louisiana today. There's people that feel only darkness and despair. And then there's some that manage to have a light. They manage to have a hope. How is it that two people can experience the same reality and feel differently about it? Man, there's an anchor, right? There's an anchor that allows us to feel differently. But you gotta move. You gotta move in your emotion and center it on something outside of yourself. What about spiritually? Sometimes you gotta move spiritually if you want what God has for your life. He said you can't stay at the beginner level. You can't just drink the milk all your life. At some point, you gotta move on to the meat. You gotta move on to the doing. You got to move on to the serving. You got to be the one giving the meal, not just receiving the meal. Man, serving is where you get to the greatest level. That's what Jesus said. Sometimes you have to move generosity, move in your level of generosity. I'm telling you, right now, we're going to talk about Abraham in just a moment. There's no one that ever gave more than Abraham. He's the original tither in the Old Testament. And then ultimately, he gives his son. Man, we're gonna stop on that in just a moment. You just get ready to get blessed. You better just get your shovel out and you just put it in your blessing box this morning. I'm telling you, oh my gosh, it's gonna be so good. And so whenever we think about Abraham, here we see that he's in this role of really it's submission. He's submitting to the promise of God on a level that quite frankly, you and I are going to struggle to comprehend how a person could ever make the decision to do what he did. For those of you that know the story of Abraham and Isaac, you're already with me. For those of you who don't, I'm not going to spoil it, but it's going to be great. But he was willing to give something that we would strain our imagination to believe that we could do this. And so I wonder if there's a lesson in that in Christianity, submission will take you further than ambition. Submission will take you further than ambition. Think about that for a moment. How many of you are pursuing the promotion and not the promise this morning? You're trying to elevate your life. You're trying to get to that next level. You're trying to get to that next house. You're trying to get to that whatever, that thing in this world. And you're trying to put the promotion, the title, the power ahead of the promise. I'm telling you, you can chase it the rest of your life and never get to what God had prepared his promise for you. So what I'm saying is that the promise has to precede the promotion in your merits, in your order of priorities. You see, when you seek the promise, it will always lead to the promotion. Joshua was faithful to Moses, and then he elevated him. Moses was faithful in Pharaoh's house, and then he elevated him. David was faithful out there in the pasture, and he promoted him to the palace. He knows how to get you to the God-sized dream that he has already prepared for your life. So quit chasing the promotion. I just wonder, do you struggle with submission this morning? Man, so many of us just want to do our own thing. And that will never work in Christianity. At some point, you have to say yes to the promise if it means losing all control, if it means sacrificing something that you really love. Say yes to the promise, and man, he'll take you to places you never dreamed of. Here we go. Genesis chapter 22. Isaac has been born. He's grown up. He's a teenager. God comes to Abraham in the middle of the night, says, I want you to give Isaac back to me. I want you to offer him on the altar of sacrifice. Now, if any of us heard this voice, if we received this message, we would discount it as crazy, right? I mean, nobody in here would hear that message and be like, yeah. But Abraham had so anchored himself to a promise he had been willing to follow so far that he doesn't even blink at this stupendous request. Matter of fact, he gets up the next morning, he gathers the materials, he gets the boy and two servants, and they are off. They are off. And again, God doesn't even tell them where they're going. He says, I'll tell you when you get there. Can I get an amen from all the parents in the house? Are we there yet? And God is saying, I'll tell you when we get there, right? 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 Abraham is following obediently. They get to the mountain and God says, that one. You see, there are places that have been prepared for your life that only God knows exist. And if you won't walk in obedience, you'll never see what the mountaintop looks like. Here is Abraham with Isaac, two servants sitting at the base of the mountain, getting ready to climb up and do something that we can't even wrap our minds around. And he says to the servants, me and the boy, we're going up the mountain and we're going to worship. And then we're going to come back down. Now, if he's meant to offer Isaac as a sacrifice, how can these two worlds coexist at the same time? How can he offer him, kill him, and burn him, and yet come back down the mountain? You see, once you anchor into the promise of God, you'll believe that he can raise things that have been died, that raise things that have died. You understand? Like where death exists, he can bring life out of it. This is such a picture of the pre-incarnate Christ, of what's Jesus is going to do for us in our salvation. And Abraham is already believing it before he takes Isaac up there, that no matter what happens on the mountain, the promise is coming back down the mountain. Are you hearing what I'm saying this way? You can start to trust in crazy stuff whenever you believe that the promise is secure. And so here they go, up the mountain. I'm going to tell you right now, your level this morning, your level is your lid. And God is saying, if you want more, you're going to have to rise up. You see, the reason why Abraham was able to get more, the reason why he was able to obtain more, is because he was willing to climb higher than anyone else had ever climbed. And some of you are sitting in this morning and your level is established. You might even be comfortable with your level. You might even like your level. You might even like Golden Corral. You might love Golden Corral. But what if God is saying there's a whole nother level for you to experience, and until you decide to climb higher, you're stuck. You're at your lid. You're at your capacity. Here's Abraham and Isaac going up the mountain. And they get to the top, and he makes the altar, and he lays his son. Says he binds him with ropes, and he raises the knife. Some of you that don't know this story, you're saying, what kind of God is this? What kind of God is this? And you'd be right in asking. If you didn't know how the story ends, you'd be right in asking. How could God be a monster like that to ask Abraham to sacrifice his son on an altar, to kill his son? Abraham standing there ready because he believes in the promise, folks. And God says, stop. I have a substitute already. There's a ram caught. There's a sacrifice already over here that was already prepared to take the place of your son. You could take my substitute and put it in place of your son, and I'll call it good. But he got credit for the obedience. And so the last point I want to tell you about this morning is that your capacity is only limited by your audacity. What I'm getting ready to tell you, man, you better get ready for this. Your capacity is only limited to your audacity. He had the audacity to walk up this lonely hill. There was no angel singing. There was no band playing. There wasn't a song, "Do It Again," in the background. It was just Abraham and his son and silence on that mountain. How in the world could you have faith like that? After he says, stop, he says, Abraham, that's the closest anyone is ever going to feel the way I felt the day that I walked my son up that hill. The day that they crucified my son, there was no substitute for my son. And now you know how I feel. And because of your obedience, I'm going to bless you like I've never blessed anyone else in all of human history. He said, by your faith, the entire earth will be blessed. Every tribe and every person will be blessed. As a result of your audacity, your capacity has increased to the size of human history. This morning, you sit inside of the capacity of Abraham's promise. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? As I look around our church, we are beginning to get pushed to capacity. And I just wonder this morning, do you have the audacity to climb to the next level? Do you have the audacity to sacrifice at the next level? Do you have the audacity to worship at the next level? Do you want your promise to be the size that someone else could come down? Your family could come, your business could come in, your employees could come in, your church members could come, and they sit down inside of the blessing that you've obtained as a result of your obedience. You see, here's the crazy thing. So many people in our past have had the audacity to give. Our church was homeless for 7 years, and yet we were pursuing after a promise. We were pursuing after, we didn't know where we were going. We didn't know how we were going to get there, but there was a promise. And now you sit inside that promise. So many have given and had the audacity to sacrifice when it hurt and climb a little higher so that you can be blessed and sit inside of the promise. And I wonder, we're always focused on the next generation of Genesis Metro. I wonder if the audience of tomorrow is worth the audacity of today. Are you willing? Are you ready to take it to the next level? Are you willing to climb a little higher? Do you have the audacity to give back to God the best that God has given you? Isaac did not belong to Abraham. Isaac belonged to God. He was giving God not back something that belonged to him. He was giving something back that belonged to God. We look at these talents and these treasures and we say, they're ours. When if you walk long enough and you climb high enough, you'll realize your talents, your treasures, and your everything, your breath, is a gift that he's given you. And I just wonder this morning, does anybody have the audacity to give it back? His very best, your talent at its highest, your earning power at its highest. Go out there, slay the dragons, because you have a desire to move spiritually, move positionally, move in your generous giving. You want to move so much, you want to save so many that you're willing to be audacious in what you give to God. You hear what I'm saying this morning? When you put the sacrifice of your best on the altar, he will unlock promises. And you could leave here holding your Isaac. Man, the whole world could get blessed as a result of your obedience. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Man, God is so good. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God, do what you do, God. Someone sitting in this audience today, been on the same level for decades. Someone sitting in the audience today has been going to Golden Corral all their life, thinking that they were meant to consume. And God, this morning, I pray you would shake them. God, I pray that you would wake them. I pray that they would realize in this very moment that there's another level and they need to rise up this morning, rise up in their worship, rise up in their walk, rise up in their focus. God, that there's a promise that is only potential, but obedience could unlock something that was impossible. They're sitting there in defeat and in doubt, saying, no, you don't understand. The scientists have told me, the doctor has told me, it's barren, it's broken, it's full of death, and God is saying, I can raise it up this morning if you would just believe in me. Oh my gosh, somebody better worship in this house today. Would you stand?